Be still. How many of you take time to be still? Good, most of you. How many think that you might benefit by being more still? Gosh, all the same hands went up. Isn't that interesting? So, anyone here ever worry about the condition of our world? Climate change, right? How about, I talked about this and it still blows my mind that only 6% of our plastics are actually being recycled. Oh, I have concerns for our Mother Earth. How about anyone concerned or worried about the United States political climate? How about on a more personal level? Anyone here ever been worried about your health or the health of a loved one? Hello. Pretty much, we've got this human heart. Of course, we're going to have concern or worry about these things. How about finances? Have you ever had a time where you were concerned or worried about the financialness of your own life? Yeah, we all have these things that come up for us. And, you know, it's part of the human condition to be worried and to be concerned about things in our world that we don't seem to maybe have control over, right? Another thing, how many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? Okay. I expect every one of us has had some times in our life where we have felt overwhelmed. Now I'm going to go to the what ifs. Okay. How many of you ever have thought, what if it doesn't work? What if I am not liked? What if it doesn't, they don't like me? What if the plane flight gets canceled? What if? We have this tendency in life to do what ifs. And that too is natural. Actually, those what ifs have a sound in my ear. I don't know what that is. Sensitive to the sound. Anyway, I'm making it up. What if? But here's the thing. This is what the mind is geared to do. The what ifs. The things that will go wrong. The mind is actually here to assist us in surviving. It is always looking. It's like a sentry on a ship. Danger, danger, don't go there. So it is like, or a overprotective mother, could be either one, where, you know, what could go wrong? Wanda doesn't ever do any of that in the office. Actually, it can be a blessing to have people who will say, what could go wrong? Because I want to be on top of it, proactive, right? So it isn't a bad thing. It's just the tendency that sometimes... Anyone ever get, like, your mind won't be still? Okay? Oh, just two of you. Good. Okay. I don't know about you, but I have times where my mind will just keep going. And sometimes that's where we get in trouble, is when our minds just want to keep us safe. That is their job. The mind is here to keep us safe. And that's beautiful. It doesn't want us to be hurt. It is here to protect us. The problem is, well, then you go into all the unknowns. When you don't know something, it's unknown. It can be scary because I don't know what's going to happen. Life is pretty much every day. And we get very comfortable. Comfort zones. And what is known? What do you know? The familiar. It's easier to live in the comfort zone and in that place. And the mind wants us to basically stay in our comfort zone and the known, because it's scary, the unknown. What if that happens? What if you go and you end up with some thing like you get sick when you go to the Parliament of World Religions? Or you go to the Parliament, here's the thing, Parliament of World Religions, part of the reason I'm having this talk today is for me. I'm going to this Parliament of World Religions with 6,000 people, 80 different countries and religions and various spiritual groups, and like 850 things that one can do in a week. Okay, I'm not overwhelmed, right? I'm not signing up for the overwhelm. So back to the mind, which wants to protect us. I want to talk to you about that, which is the known. And one of my favorite books, Deepak Chopra, is The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. One of my favorite, number six, is The Law of Detachment. And he talks about the known. He says, what's the known? The known is our past. The known is nothing other than the prison of past conditioning. There's no evolution in that, absolutely none at all. And where there is no evolution, there is stagnation, entropy, disorder, and decay. Uncertainty, on the other hand, is the fertile ground of pure creativity and freedom. Uncertainty means stepping into the unknown in every moment of our existence. The unknown is the field of all possibilities, ever fresh, ever new, always open to the creation of new manifestations. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just the stale repetition of outworn memories. What? You know, without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just the stale repetition of outworn memories. You become the victim of the past. Your tormentor today is yourself left over from yesterday. He says, relinquish your attachment to the known. Step into the unknown, and you will step into the field of all possibilities. In your willingness to step into the unknown, you will have the wisdom of uncertainty and factored in. And this means that every moment of your life, you will have excitement, adventure, mystery. You will experience the fun of life, the magic, the celebration, the exhilaration, and the exaltation of your own spirit. Every day, you can look for the excitement that might occur in that field of all possibilities. Now, I think we have a conundrum here, because the mind is set up. It is basically here to keep us safe and from entering into the unknown, right? Its job is to keep us safe, to keep us in the known. And at the same time, if we're staying with the known, we're actually dying, because life, you're either growing and extending and getting out of the comfort zone, or you're not and you're dying. There is no middle ground. You're either out in the world of uncertainty. And it doesn't mean that you have to be in uncertainty and unknown 24/7. It's just we have a tendency not to want to get into the unknown because it might not work. And so we hold back. So there is a word that comes in that I'm going to speak about today. And today's talk title is, Are You or Are You Not? ... I didn't fill that in so that you might be curious. The word, the operative word, is are you trusting or are you not trusting? See, the way to move from the fear-based mind is to trust, and trust is not of the mind, it is of the heart. See, the mind is about surviving, the heart is for thriving. So we need to trust. So I'm going to speak to you about trust today. And let's see where I am. I already told you that this whole thing about, where am I going? Okay. Where are you going to? To Diane Ross. Oh my God. So would you like to be able to know more about trust and how to increase your own ability to trust?
Yes. And,
well, that was a pretty good response. Appreciate that. So again, for me, this talk is for me because I'm not putting myself on the overwhelm ticket. I'm putting myself on the trust ticket. So trust, what is trust? Well, let's see what Marianne Williamson, who loves Marianne Williamson? This is actually one of my number one books in the entire world, Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of the Course in Miracles. This is a highly recommended book. It became like a Bible before I even knew organizations existed that teach these new thought principles. Love Marianne. So she says about trust. To trust in the force that moves the universe is faith. Faith is not blind. Faith is believing that the universe is on our side. It's visionary. The universe, we believe that the universe knows what it's doing. Faith is the psychological awareness of an unfolding force for good, constantly at work in all dimensions. Our willingness to relax into it allows it to work on our behalf. Without faith, we're frantically trying to control. I know none of you do that. Trying to control what is not in our power to fix. What we're trying to control is much better off without us. And what we're trying to fix can't be fixed by us anyway. Without faith, we're wasting our time. Marianne. So I'm going to give you steps, action steps, because actions, I don't want to just give you words, things you can do. One of them, she talks about the universe is here for you. So I heard Helen Street Durbin, minister in Hawaii. I don't know which island she was on back in time. She's now on the other side of the veil. But she lives on through these words that I listened to on a cassette tape. And she said she lived with the assumption that the universe was absolutely crazy about her. I was like, oh, I like that. I think I would like to live with that assumption too. The universe is absolutely crazy about me. And it's crazy about you too. And so if you adopted that statement, you would see evidence that the universe is absolutely crazy about you. Now you could do the opposite. The universe is out to get you. Guess what? You'll see evidence. Because it's what our mind puts out there is what we're going to see and experience. So I want you to all say, the universe is absolutely crazy about me. The universe is absolutely crazy about me. Look at somebody else and say it together. The universe is absolutely crazy about me. It's absolutely crazy about you. Now, you can have that. You heard it today. You said it a couple times. My invitation is to say that every day. Continually repeat. The universe is
absolutely crazy about me.
Okay. This is one way to build faith, because if you're believing that the universe is absolutely crazy about you, are you going to be worried? No. You're going to be trusting, because, hey, the universe is absolutely crazy about me and every one of us. I accept that. Now, here's the word, acceptance. See, we can say things, but when you accept something as true, she lived with the assumption, when you accept something as true, that's when you're trusting. It's not just a thought. So that's why we're going to work with the mind to help us to create more experience of trust, because we're going to now be using our mind instead of letting it use us. Okay? It's got that fear. So the mind is actually a tool. And one of my affirmations I came up with, Spirit gave me, was, I use my mind to create more good. I use my mind to create good, good. I use my mind to create more good. I use my mind to create more good. Okay, you got it. I'm going to give you these things, and what you do with them is totally up to you. So the mind is a servant. We are using the mind to move into the heart. And you've all heard the saying, We must become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I have a reading from the Science of Mind text from Ernest Holmes. As little children, because little children trust, they haven't been conditioned yet to be so fear-based. They live free, and then they get told all these things, and they become fear-based. Ernest Holmes says, we must become as little children. How we long for a return of that simple trust in life, which children have in their minds. There's no doubts. They have not been told that they are sinners, destitute of divine guidance and spiritual life. The life of a child is natural goodness and play and laughter and fun. God is natural goodness. The prison walls of false experience soon build themselves into barriers, shutting out the light, and the child grows into a man or into a woman, often losing his sense of that inner guide, leading his footsteps aright. We must return the way we came. As little children, we who know that life is good and to be trusted, we are to approach our problems as if they were not. Good luck with that. Approaching them in this manner, they will vanish. Now, the reason I say good luck with that, when I'm in the middle of a crisis, is it easy for me to be outside of that and to see and know the spiritual truth? Is it easy for you? I don't think so. Even Jesus, the great way shower, had to go out and get centered and be still and come back into the truth before he entered in. We have prayer practitioners. They are here for that purpose, to know the truth of you and for you. And so when you're not trusting, have a prayer practitioner. Speak the words, because the part of you that knows the truth is connected to that person who knows the truth. We're just in our heads and can be worried, and not a bad thing to be worried. It's just, how is that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say, right? I always remember that, here's your action step. Back in time, I used to have fear around money. No, anybody else ever feel like that you just had some energy around money? Spirit gave me another phrase. I know you're all writing these down. Emily is. So here's another phrase that Spirit gave me. And you can use it for finances, but you can use it for anything. Everything, actually. It is, God is my source in who I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. God is my source in whom I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. Sounds like lions and tigers and bears, oh my. So God is my source is always the first part. God is my source in who I am trusting, and action. God is my source in whom I do trust is stating that's a fact. Again, you're creating new grooves in your brain by saying these things in repetition over and over and over. You learned your multiplication tables by repetition. God is my source in who I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. Together. God is my source in who I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. One more time. God is my source in who I am trusting. God is my source in whom I do trust. Again. The mind is your servant. The mind is either going to keep you in your fear, or you can put new thoughts in here. And that's what new thought is. You put a new thought in, creates a new belief where you actually accept and believe it to be so. Then it's so. We have so much power, but we weren't taught that. I wasn't taught that. So we're creating these grooves in our brain. So I have a couple acronyms for trust. One year, trust was my word for the year, and I thought, what is my acronym going to be for trust? I'm going to fill in the T-R-U-S-T. The second that I had the question, nanosecond, I immediately came into consciousness, trust. To rely upon spirit totally. I know. I was a little, it was a good one. That's right, Shelley. It was a good one. I was actually like, I didn't get to think about it. Spirit goes, no, that's an upload. You might say download, but I believe Spirit's in me. So to rely upon Spirit totally. Let's say that. To rely upon Spirit totally. Now, I have a friend who's minister, Reverend Angelica Taggart. She has an acronym, and hers is to totally relying upon Spirit's timing. Totally relying upon Spirit's timing. So you have two hands. Those two fit together. To rely upon Spirit totally and totally relying upon Spirit's timing. Those are the acronyms. So what happens if you're afraid? Because you're going to run into worry or fear. It's part of our nature. You're not going to, well, maybe you will, just snap your fingers and never be worried again. Good for you. So when I have had fear, Spirit gave me, again, a couple questions. It was very interesting. I noticed that I was afraid of a relationship that I was considering getting into, but I had fear around that. Anyone else ever been a little feared? You're getting maybe into a relationship? And Spirit says, gives me the question. Are you ready? Okay, good for you. Sandy's ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Spirit simply said, are you trusting? That was a simple question. Are you trusting? Then it gave me a second question. How much are you trusting? Now, the answers to the question aren't the thing that actually made the difference. The difference is in the questions themselves. Because as soon as I started to think, am I trusting? How much am I trusting? I'm focusing on trust now. The fear is dissolved. I wasn't even paying attention to what I was afraid of anymore. Simply by talking about, am I trusting? How much am I trusting? Just because I shifted my focus away from what I was afraid of, it became the thing. I was now in a more trusting space. So ask yourself the question, am I trusting the divine? Together, am I trusting the divine? How much am I trusting the divine? The divine is here for us. It is here for you and me. Now, it's here for you, it's with you, and it is you. Now, I want to tell you that God, I know we just talked about this in a group we had on Friday night. What is God to you? In Science of Mind, they teach that the God, the divine, is two things. It's personal and it's impersonal, okay? The impersonalness of God is principle, is the law, is things that work all the time across all religions, all nationalities, are principles that work all the time for everyone. That's why they're called a principle, also called the law. Things will work all the time. Example, it is done unto you as you believe. That is a principle, and sometimes we have a subconscious belief that it's not really true. We can be doing conscious things, but that's another subject. So there are principles. That's why we talk about in Unity, the five principles. There's a book by Ellen Debenport. If you don't have it, it's the best book, I think, besides Marianne Williamson's and Deepak's books, are the five principles. Get the book. Read those principles. Digest them. Not just have them be words. Read it over and over. It will change your life. I guarantee it if you read that text and you absorb it. Then you have the personal. And I want to speak about the personal. God is not a person, but it is personal. And when we say trust in God, it isn't something that's outside of me. It's not something outside of you. It is that higher power, the higher self. Jesus's words for higher self or, higher self or higher power. He used the word Father. When you're trusting in God, you're trusting in the higher power of yourself. You are trusting in the divine that is a part of who you are. It is your highest part. It is very important to understand. It's not something outside of me. When I trust in God, I'm trusting in the higher power that is breathing me. I'm not separated from it. It's important to take that in. So when you hear Shelley's last song, remember to trust in, when it's about trusting in you, it's not trusting in that outside source. I have in closing, and by the way, for those that are here in the sanctuary, I do have some copies of this. It talks about trust. It has my acronyms on it. If someone wants it from the Cyber Sanctuary, I guess you might need to send something maybe to communications at Unity Santa Fe, and perhaps Brendan will be able to scan and send you a copy, because I will not be in town, or you can wait and you can send it to me. But this is the last part. When you have come to the edge of all the light you know, and you are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, trust is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you'll be taught how to fly. I trust that you are taking this in. I trust the divine within me and you. We are one. Trust. It's the way to be. And so it is.